it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Tuesday of Sports Sidebar.
Yeah, we made it another week.
We did. And
hard to believe.
And during that time, our Indians are collapsing. And
yes.
The Browns are the Browns. And
yeah. But we're still here. You know, it's been 6 months just before we got on the air. It's been 6 months since I've seen you. So, in person.
Well, you know what? I think.
And I'm not complaining.
I didn't think so. I'm almost back to the size I was when we had to shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of nightly, I do a mile at night on the treadmill before I go to bed.
Oh, good for you.
It is starting to pay dividends at long last.
So, at long last.
At long last.
Well, it's always good during this time where we're spending more and more, I guess, sedimentary lifestyle. You got to keep the physical going as well as the mental. And it's important. It's important just to go out, and breathe some fresh air, or do something inside like you do. It's important for everybody.
Yeah, it is.
It's
keep moving. You got to keep moving.
Yeah, keep moving. So, and you're a groovy kind of guy. You know that. You're very groovy.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
Yes, here we go.
I don't know where to begin. I guess we begin, since this is a Browns town, about the Browns. Before we do that, I promised to give you my picks. I told you we would have 9 or 10. I did look over the schedule. I did not shy from that.
You were chicken.
To be honest with you, I hadn't fully prepared. I did not go down.
Oh my goodness.
Had gone through and picked out the different power rankings, but I did not actually pick them all out. But I knew as I was listening, as you were going on the list, I thought, well, this one could be. And as I say that, what I see going into, I mean, everybody looks at this as, what the heck happened? Well, for one thing, we played what is ranked by almost everybody the second best team in the NFL.
Oh, I don't buy that.
Wait, what do you mean?
We weren't even competitive. Excuse me.
Did we not do power rankings last week?
Yeah.
Where the Baltimore Ravens almost always reigned within the top 2 to 4, were they not?
I don't care. Yeah. They were. You know, they were awful. They were awful. I mean, we beat them last year one game.
Right when they didn't
under
have
Freddie,
when they didn't
under
have
Freddie.
When they didn't have their quarterback, we beat them. Yes.
No, they had their quarterback.
No, they did not. He was.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did last year. You're talking about Pittsburgh.
I'm not talking about Pittsburgh.
No. Lamar Jackson played every game last year.
I don't think he did.
Well, go check.
I will have to check that for next week. My internet is being wonky. I will admit to that. Now everything is upside down. What the heck?
Well, so is your thinking about the Browns.
How do you know? You haven't heard my picks yet.
All right. You had one up on me. You waited the whole week because you were thinking some way, somehow.
What did I tell you? I told you 9 to 10 wins. And when I look down my schedule here, I have 9 wins for the Browns. I was working before I was interrupted. I was working on my reasons why they're going to do that.
Who interrupted you?
Let me see. There's me on the line, and there's one other person on here.
Okay. You got to watch out for that other person.
I think one of the reasons we stunk, one of the reasons, there are many, but one of the reasons we stunk against that team is that, again, if I get to finish, that the Ravens are ranked in the power rankings in the 2 to 3 spot in almost every ranking, okay? That's not an excuse, okay?
I think you just made it. You just made it an excuse. Oh, they're number 2, so we can't be competitive against.
I didn't say we can't play competitively, okay? What I'm also getting to is their coach, who has been there 17 years, along with much of his coaching staff, and we have a coach who's been here and worked with his team a month at best.
So you are offering excuses?
I'm offering an explanation. I'm not offering an excuse. Oh, I'm offering an explanation. Like, there is a difference because I'm not excusing what they did.
Marla Rittenhauer said another butcher knife to the heart.
Well, I did have to read that. Yes. The fact is, as they play, they are going to get better together. I mean, we have the best backfield on offense in all of the
NFL. We do.
I'm also predicting that if by the fourth game, after the fourth game, Baker doesn't do better than he's doing, he's going to be sitting on the bench. They signed Case Keenum, who is better adjusted to the system than Baker Mayfield is. And they signed him for 3 years, which means if that happens, we're going to be drafting a quarterback next year and we're going to be starting all over again. But
I thought you were going to go through the power rankings and we get into the game. But I
went over the power rankings. We went over the power rankings last week, so let's get into the games.
All right. I thought you were going to go over the schedule.
And I've got the schedule here. We're going to go through that. And so, of course, as we both said, the Ravens would be a loss, which it was. Next, on Thursday, we play the Bengals. Bengals also lost, not as terribly as we did, but I forget who they played. Do you know who they played?
They played the Chargers. They're very competitive.
Okay. I have that down as a win for the Browns.
I don't know after Sunday.
You're asking for my picks. I have the team from Washington, the football team from Washington, down as a win for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Cowboys as a loss. The Colts as a loss. The Steelers as a loss. Back to the Bengals. I have that as a win. I have the Raiders as a win. I don't know why. I have the Texans as a win. The Eagles as a loss. The Jags as a win. The Titans as a loss. The Ravens again with a loss. The Giants with a win. The Jets with a win. And in order to make it my 9 wins, I had to make it Steelers with a win.
You know, Jaguars, who are ranked one of the worst teams in the NFL, beat the Colts.
Yeah, so
they were competitive. They won.
Yeah,
they didn't lay one of the biggest goose eggs. I thought you couldn't get any worse than our debut last year, but we were.
We weren't. We did not give up two football fields worth of penalties.
So we lost by 32 points. We lost by 30 last year. Without as many penalties. So does that make you feel better?
No, I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about that game. I don't think you heard anything in me that I feel good about that game.
I am no after that. If that's what this team looks like, they'll be lucky to be 7-9. Lucky to be 7-9. I'm telling you, there was nothing in the coaching. Who in the world makes a putt with a rugby player as your putter?
Yeah,
on the 25-yard line of your own side of the field. Who does that? Is that a new wrinkle that he promised?
Yeah, that's a wrinkle. Yes, that's a wrinkle he promised. And look how successful that was.
Well, offensive line. But once the Baltimore defense got warmed up, they were on Baker like crazy. Of course, you know, Mayfield cannot play under pressure. That's obvious. He's not that tall, and they can adjust to. Passes were blocked. I mean, it was the defense, this much vaunted defense, looked mediocre at best. It was horrible. It was a horrible game. What did you see that gives you confidence?
What I see is what we have, and what we have, I believe, will gel together on offense. Now, defense, I don't know. I can't tell you about the defense.
Well, it wasn't
defense is a big question.
They did have some significant penalties. My goodness, they got a first down, and on top of that, they got a roughing the passer. And you think they would capitalize on it? No. They ended up being third down and 49 yards to go.
Well, we don't have anybody who can kick the ball either. Through the uprights, anyway.
So,
his extra point actually hit the goalpost. And saying that the ball was a little to the right is an exaggeration. It was way to the right on the field goal. He had plenty of distance. He had plenty of foot and plenty of distance, and the ball looked like it was snapped properly. It was placed properly, and he shanked it worse than I would on the golf course.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
I just go by what you tell me on the golf course, and it doesn't sound like it's very good. But I don't know. I mean, if I was a Browns fan, which, of course, I'm not, I'm an interested observer, I should be scratching my head. Fortunately, I have not heard any of the feedback from the radio or TV yet. I didn't listen to any of the so-called fifth quarters or NFL Browns review or anything like that. I can just imagine what those guys are talking about.
Yeah.
I go over the predictions too of the game. Nate Urich said we would score 20 points, 31-20. And the Steve Dorchuk, I don't know what he was smoking. He predicted a win, 27-20.
Yeah, I saw that.
27. He predicted the win in the paper, but in the Browns preview, he predicted a loss. So I don't know what he saw or heard that would have changed his mind. But now Marla Rittenhour is closest to reality, I guess, 31-13 prediction, and George Thomas 34-17. So it's just to me, they're not ready for prime time now. Mm-hmm. And they only have 3 days to get ready for the Bengals. Like I said, we're competitive, and I don't know. It's just, you just gotta hope that this was just an anomaly. But how many home openers have we won since they've been back? 1999.
One. We've won one, and we tied one.
It's been 16 years since we won a home opener.
Yes,
we haven't won 16. And
the last head coach on his debut to win a game was Bud Carson back in 1989.
Well,
and it's not like we haven't had, like we had a coach for 50 years, like some teams seem to have.
Well, whose fault? I mean, whose fault is that? That's the ownership, right?
That's the ownership. That's two ownerships. That's three ownerships, if you include Modell in there.
But if a competent, capable NFL coach who's maybe not a head coach takes over, you would think they know how to run a team. I mean, that's why they hired him.
Yes.
And that's no excuse for this, what happened on Sunday. It's no excuse whatsoever. I can see anything really innovative other than that stupid, stupid decision to go, a fake punt with a rugby player. I mean, he's a good kicker. Don't get me wrong. The Scottish Hammer is a good kicker. That's his nickname. And, but my goodness gracious, to go 4 yards, what a risk. What a risk.
Yeah.
And they were lucky. It only ended up being a field goal out of that. And, I don't know, you had fumbles, you had turnovers, you did have penalties. I mean, they would have had to play a competitive game. If they would have lost, let's say, 38-21, I would say, you know what, there's some hope there. There's some hope there. There's some promise. But, and then they had some injuries that are, the new, first-round draft pick of the draft, Wills, was hurt, so I don't know if he's coming back. And there's no depth in the offensive line.
Right.
So there is a, like I said, if you are a fan, there's a lot of concern going forth with this team. They didn't utilize, really, I don't think, Hunt or Chubb that much. I mean, they only had 136 yards combined.
And they seemed to be able to move the ball.
So, wasn't that a major criticism last year of the so-called Freddie Kitchens, who was much, much villainized last year? Wasn't that one of his faults?
Yes.
So, what do we do the first game of the year? Not utilize Hunt and Chubb. Of course, Chubb does fumble. He did fumble a very critical run toward if they had any hope of coming back at all. That I don't know. I don't see anything redeeming. If there was something redeeming, I would say so. I don't see anything redeeming. They did have one touchdown, and then they flubbed the extra point. And I said, oh, no. I mean, this then Baltimore got serious, and that was about it. It was the end of the game. It was 10-6, and I might as well have said, we give up and go home.
Yeah, it did almost appear to be that way, didn't it?
Well, sure. I don't have any of the power ratings or anything like that. They used to put that in here on a Monday, but they didn't show it.
I don't think we had any power this week.
No. My goodness gracious. Anyway. It was unusual not to have anybody in the stadium. I guess Maryland, they're not allowed to have stands filled or even partially filled.
Right. It does appear that way, yeah. But just think what it would have been if they would have been in there,
Oh, I'm sure we would have been better.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it would have served as motivation.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It could be just one of these things that we, of course, as following the Browns, we're ending our 13th year together, and we haven't had, except for a tie, a win since we've been on the air.
Right.
The first game. I mean, we haven't talked about a win.
In game one, we have not.
No. And it's just amazing. I mean,
nor do I see that coming anytime soon. Oh, my.
Well, there's certain fundamentals. You get it's all blocking and tackling. Everybody who's played football from flag football to the pros, and the tackling wasn't very good. There was some good blocking.
Yeah.
And the question about Baker Mayfield is just he went through all this. He's getting into shape, and he just he's a poor quarterback right now. Who's in better shape instead of a poor quarterback that was in bad shape last year? It's just I don't. He had some good passes that were right there, but any journeyman quarterback in the NFL can do what he's doing. And
well, yeah, because he only had what a 64 rating, something like that.
Yeah, I guess I don't have the official. Maybe there is here. Let me see. Individual rushing. Okay. Quarterback rating. So, you know, in first downs, I found it here. Then first downs, Baltimore had 23. We had 20, which is not a big discrepancy. In total net yards, they were more efficient. We had 370. They had 306. We had 306. Baltimore 377. Like I said, 138 yards. They only had 107. But passing, Cleveland had 189. We had 284. They only had one punt. Punt return.
I believe it.
I
believe it.
We had no kickoff return. Interceptions, they had one. You look at the statistics, you would think it had been a much closer game, but it was the efficiency of the Baltimore offense that certainly was clearly superior to ours. And, we would march down the field and then something would happen, right? A penalty or fumble or an interception. And it just, we couldn't convert like we should have. But I don't see that Mayfield, they just didn't have any specific quarterback rating. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Lamar Jackson had his team in control. He even put RG3 in to mop up at the end of the game. And here we are, 0-1. And the thing is, too, we don't, I mean, I guess there is some sort of home field advantage since you don't have to travel to a game. But other than that, that's it. You know, Cincinnati, I don't know too much about. They are not ranked very highly. And on paper, we should beat them handily. But
on paper we should. But on paper, but on paper, we should have been a lot more competitive than we were.
Well, yeah, but you just gave excuses earlier in the show.
I was giving an explanation, not an excuse. I did not excuse anything he did.
Sounded like an excuse to me, or excuses, but that's just me. You know, I hear what I hear. Jaguars. That was a little bit of an upset.
Well, you know what I found interesting, too, in flipping through the games is how these Patriots, who were ranked between 15 and 20, did a pretty darn good job yesterday.
They beat the Dolphins by 10. You know, the Dolphins aren't a very good team, but they still beat them.
Right.
Just looking down the road here. The Buccaneers, so Tom Brady's new team, lost by 11. I don't see just moving down to Tampa as a redeeming way to go out in your career. I just don't think they're that good. What's around Tom Brady? And he's pushing, 44, 45 years old. And
who did they play? They played New Orleans.
Which is
ranked in one of the top, usually within the top five.
That's right. I'm not disputing that, but
sounds like you're making an excuse for them. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not making an excuse. I just don't think they. I just said they don't. I don't think Tom Brady has what it needs around him to prevail. I think he should have stayed, and he should have stayed. My personal belief is that he should have retired as a Patriot. And for whatever reason, whether it's his feeling or relationship with Belichick or the owner, didn't pan out and it was time for him to move on, obviously. But it was too bad they couldn't work it out. But I didn't.
You know what? I think both Belichick and Brady feel they have something to prove. Because before Belichick had Brady, he didn't really have a winning team. And Brady has had nothing but Belichick. So they've been locked so much together that I think both of them want to say, look, I can win without the other.
Well,
Which I think, which is the reason he played for a year instead of just, I think, giving it up.
Well, he could have continued to win, but
it still would have been him.
Let's face it, that quarterback does have tremendous control over the offense, but a coach has control over everything, offense, defense, and special teams, right? So a coach can influence the outcome of a game to a certain extent, but he has more control of what players to put where and so on and so forth, and ultimately it's important for that particular coach to execute on all these different fronts. And basically a quarterback has to be concerned with running the plays.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, Belichick has obviously Hall of Fame credentials as a coach, and will be very interesting to see how he prevails with Cam Newton as a quarterback. But pretty much he won, and Brady didn't. And that's, I guess, so far, Belichick 1, Brady 0, right?
Yeah.
At least for the first week.
Looking at the numbers, that's true. But, again, comparing New England playing Miami to the Buccaneers playing New Orleans. It's a whole different creature.
Yeah, well, I hope New Orleans is there after storm passes through. Yeah, my goodness, that area down in Louisiana has been just socks with these storms. Hurricane Sally is supposed to be hitting either tonight or Wednesday morning. And my goodness gracious, it's just been something else down there, but it's taking direct aim at New Orleans. And of course, we hope for the best there, but you know, they did play at home, the Buccaneers did, and they still lost. But like I said, it doesn't really matter now with the limited amount of fans that are allowed in some locations. I guess in Florida, I don't know. That governor down there seems to let everything go, so they could have had a full house as far as I know. I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of confusing that he did limit that, now that you mention it. I hadn't really thought of that.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it.
Did they have an attendance? I don't know.
I didn't realize that was on. I didn't really watch that game. I saw some highlights from it.
I saw some, like, the Dallas game Sunday night had fans clustered, I guess, if you, you know, in units that are familiar units, and I guess they were allowed up to 15-20% of the attendance there. But I guess if it was up to our president, they would be packed.
Yeah.
He's having rallies with everybody there, so without face masks. So it's kind of strange what we're going through right now.
It is indeed very
strange. But anyway, the Ravens performed well without, like you said, without, who knows what they have done with the backing of their fans to give them even more incentive to. I don't think it would have made that much difference. I really don't. But it's as far as watching it on TV and you pipe it in the noise, there really isn't much different, right? I mean, I didn't notice it other than when they panned the stadium and there was nobody there.
When they panned the stadium and you see that, but it would be different. I mean, if there are fans there jumping around and they're jumping into the fans after a touchdown, you know, that would be a difference to the player. I honestly believe it would be.
Well, they did, when they recovered the interception, a whole bunch of Ravens players went to the sideline to do their theatrics, and the guy says, I don't know why they're doing that. There's somebody there to take their picture.
Yeah.
And they had a few opportunities to do that. And other than that, you know, those miscellaneous things certainly didn't affect us. You would think that would have benefited us a little bit, not having the crowd deafening your audibles and everything else, but that didn't work. So I guess Thursday night we'll have about 12,000 or so at the First Energy Field. And it's all based on season ticket holders and and their ability to, I mean, their seniority as far as ticket holders, and they can, like, a group of 10, and they're going to be seated social distance-wise, and they're going to, I guess I also know the city of Cleveland is going to lock up the muni lots, so there's no tailgating.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People will find a way. I mean, come on, there's always...
You don't have to be in the muni lot to tailgate. You can tailgate from anywhere.
That's right. But I just, certainly, being up there on a few games, that becomes like the third largest city in Ohio, that muni lot.
Yeah,
and all of them are fueled with alcoholic beverages, most of them. And it's unique. Any stadium, any NFL stadium, or, especially the professional ranks, with avid fans there every week, it is a festival of eating and cooking and drinking, and like we said many times, a lot of those people never make it to the stadium because they have imbibed too much. So that certainly has had an effect, I would think, too, on the local taverns and restaurants around these stadiums that have either very few fans attending, and I know the dramatic effect on some college towns as well, especially Big Ten towns where they're not having football games, and some of these restaurants generate almost half their revenue during college football when they're at home.
Yeah.
So it's sad. It's really sad. It's necessary, but it's sad. And, you know, we're approaching, unfortunately, 200,000. Can you imagine? It's just envision the whole city of Akron dying. Everybody in the city of Akron dead as a result of this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just visualize it that way, and it's scary. And I would be all right. I live in Green. You'd be doomed.
I'd be doomed, yeah.
So, not to make light of it, but that's just how bad this is. And yeah, I guess you got something. I mean, the frustrations, you can see it everywhere. People are just letting their guard down, and we're going to have to wait and see how this flu season, when people have to go indoors. And it's very uncertain times.
Yes.
And then, you know, it has certain locales that allow people, how that will affect certain teams. I mean, 12,000 people, so a lot of people.
Yes, it is a lot of people, and I think that...
Unfortunately,
a lot of people, not compared to what's there,
yeah,
but it's a bigger percentage than what the governor had originally allowed them.
That's true. I mean, in Ohio, they were only going to be allowed 15% or 1,500, whatever was less.
Yes, less, right.
Yeah, and then he granted a variance. And they're going to be, everybody who goes to a game will be required to wear a mask. And I saw at least the coaching staff doing a good job on both sides wearing masks. Not the players so much, but it's impossible. You can't breathe properly
right.
You know, with the amount of exertion that you have on a football field to do that. And let's just hope everybody stays. And this is a bigger experiment than any other sport, because maybe basketball, but they really have the protocols in basketball. That's a game where you're up close and personal as well, but they seem to be doing it quite well, and so is hockey. And let's just hope that football can have the same kind of record as the bubble teams, because they certainly can't play in a bubble in the NFL.
Right.
They are going to play in a bubble in baseball in the playoffs, but not in the regular season. So anyway, it's just I'm looking at the headlines. So I have Monday's paper in front of me. Browns defense lays an egg. You know, you have Marla Rittenhour again saying another butcher knife to the heart. Browns crushed in Stefanski's debut. And these reporters are usually pretty friendly toward the
yes, yeah. And from what I, you know, again, and because we are impatient because we should be, but because of the impatience of the ownership that's constantly flipping things around, which is why we always, but we have so much raw talent, especially on the offense. There's no reason, except, you know, Ravens, of course, were built on defense. And then they throw in Lamar Jackson. And, you know, he only got 46 yards, I think, rushing yesterday. Wasn't that about it?
But he certainly, like I said, utilized all his tools in the toolbox a lot better than we did.
I think, you know, that we seem to do better against the run than we normally have in the past, but we sure didn't do better against the pass.
No, we didn't. You had Greedy Williams injured, but injuries is part of the game. You have to compensate for that. That's just part of the NFL. And there was no aspect of this game yesterday whatsoever. Special teams, defense, offense, you name it, coaching, there was nothing. Unfortunately, for the fans of Northeast Ohio who love the Browns, and I can't believe they have any fans, but they do. Like I said, it was a dagger to the heart to see this Stefanski, who had so much success as a offense coordinator for the Vikings, come in here and not look any better than Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens won a game against the Ravens last year. And maybe we will at home against them, but they are a premier team, but you have to be competitive. And that's what really would be dismaying to me as a fan, is how they just didn't look competitive other than the first touchdown that they made, and then they blew the extra point. So there was...
They did.
Only thing I can say, Kevin Stefanski looks better on the sideline than Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just, you know, I don't, because of the inability to actually have the mini camps and the spring camps and the summer camps and the preseason and the preseason games, those teams that have been together longer definitely have an advantage. I'm not, again, it's not an excuse, but it's a definite advantage.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Odell Beckham Jr., he looked lousy, didn't he? I mean, he had a pass right thrown to him, he dropped. He looked terrible.
He did. I mean, that would have been a first down instead.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was it wasn't. And then Baker Mayfield got chased out of the pocket the next play for a 16-yard loss. So
yeah. Then Njoku, who was had a couple of nice plays, he's injured now, I believe. I don't know if he'll be back by Thursday. You don't have a lot of time to lick your wounds.
You don't. Not when you're going from Sunday to Thursday. And every team that has that, Cincinnati has that same issue as well.
Yeah. I didn't follow Cincinnati's game. I didn't know how the young man Joe Burrow did. Obviously, they lost, but they scored 13 points against a fairly good team. The Chargers. The Rams, too, they played in their new stadium, SoFi Stadium. That thing costs $5 billion. Can you believe that? That stadium costs five? That's like three times more than what Jerry Jones put together for the AT&T Stadium. Gosh, that thing must be a palace.
Okay, Joe Burrow was... Passed for 193 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, with a quarterback rating of 20.2. So they did their stuff on the ground, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're starting with a rookie and starting a rookie on a team that was terrible to begin with.
Yeah. Give that young man a chance.
So he had a 63.9 percentage completion percentage. And yet they scored 13 points. So obviously it was on the ground. I was just looking at his stats, not the team stats, because that's what I just asked for his stats. But, yeah. So he did not have Baker had a better game than him.
The overriding, that leads to this question. I mean, how long will they go with Baker Mayfield? Is he going to be another Brady Quinn?
I think if he is still playing like this after 4 weeks, and he'll get 4 weeks. I can't imagine, because there's nobody in this administration here that has, you know, it's like, hey, he was our number one pick and we picked him and he did this. No. He was before them. And so therefore, they don't have any big loyalty to him if they feel he can't get the job done.
Well, they brought Case Keenum in for a reason. I mean, last year they were so confident in Baker Mayfield's ability that they really had two less than dream of backup quarterbacks.
Yes.
And this year they have some pressure now on him. But my goodness gracious, it's just stunning to me how, I mean, let's not rule him out yet that he may, but look at the quarterback after quarterback after the quarterback who has failed here. And it's just a rogue's gallery of terrible. Not terrible, but less than franchise players.
And I had posed this question to you many times before.
You did? I forgot.
If you had put someone even like a Tom Brady in Cleveland with the team that we had around him, would he be the Tom Brady that everybody knows and loves now?
Yes.
You think he still would be?
Yes.
Okay, well, that will, I guess, kind of show this year, won't it?
It will. Big-time franchise quarterbacks bring the cream to the top. They always have. And the Bernie Kosar was a way above average quarterback, and he did it for the Browns. We almost got to the Super Bowl 1 year with him.
He made it to the AFC Finals three times.
Yeah. The Brian Sipe almost did it.
Brian Sipe would have won that game. That wasn't the final. He still had another game to go through before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he was a very good quarter. They had winning records.
He was certainly better, because when the USFL came on, he went over to the USFL. He won a championship or two with that.
In the whole decade of the teens, we hadn't had a winning season. That all comes down to the inability to have a franchise quarterback year in, year out. That's drafting, that's ownership. It's pathetic. It just amazes me that even by some blind luck, we would be better than we have been since 1999. And it's just, this Titans defeat opens up all those wounds, doesn't it? To say, my goodness gracious, what is it with this team?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, this could be an outlier. I'll make an excuse. This could be an outlier as far as this team goes. But, boy, there wasn't much hope or optimism after viewing this.
And if you beat up on, I'm just saying, if you beat up on Cincinnati on Thursday, that doesn't make you ready for the Super Bowl.
No.
It's Cincinnati.
Cincinnati
will get better.
They will get better. And what did the Washington no name? Well, they lost to the Eagles.
Well, and Eagles are a good
team. No, they won. They won.
Who did? Washington?
The Washington football team, 27 Eagles, 17.
Yeah, they did.
Yep. So we played them. I mean, do we look as good as the Eagles? No. They beat them at home.
Yeah, that may have been an anomaly.
All
indications are, at this point, all indications are that is an anomaly.
What is Pittsburgh's?
Pittsburgh plays tonight.
Eagles, I'm saying. Eagles, Monday night.
Pittsburgh.
Eagles have about a 13.2 average on the power ratings. Compared to Washington's, which was 31.4, so
right.
That was an upset.
I think you're going to look at this game as an anomaly for Washington. However, if you get enough anomalies and players start believing in themselves, you know.
Yeah. If you win enough anomalies, you're in the Super Bowl, man.
That's right.
Oh, well.
Because just like I said, you know, yeah, they played against, like, the technically the second-best team in the NFL and got their butts handed to them. And if they play Cincinnati and they, even if they trump, that does not mean that they're a great team. It doesn't even mean that they're a good team. It just means that Cincinnati is not ready for prime time any more than Cleveland is.
No, but here, you know, one of the color analysts from Sunday's game said, well, the Browns will take a little bit more time to get their act together. How many times have we heard that?
Again, this is a different season. This is 2020. This is a different year than anything we've ever seen before, than any team, than any sport has ever seen before.
But everybody is playing under the same conditions.
No, they're not. The only people playing under the same conditions are people that have a new coaching staff. And Cleveland isn't the only one. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, all these teams that have new coaching staffs are all behind the eight ball compared to the others that have a hard ball. How many teams have had a guy for 17 years? Not many.
No, you're right.
But I'm saying, you know, and with that, even with the Chiefs and Andy Reid and what people know what to do, and look at the progression that even the Titans, the Tennessee Titans have come. It seems like each year since Jimmy Haslam bought this team, and each year that we play them, look at them. They beat Baltimore out to go to the AFC Championship game.
The thing is, though, this ownership doesn't give anybody an opportunity to gain that experience. And if you think if Stavosky goes 5-11 or worse, he's gone.
If he goes worse than Freddie Kitchens, and technically he may have an even better back. Well, he does, because he's got Hunt from the beginning, where we only had Hunt half the season last year. Okay,
right.
So technically we probably have a better backfield this year than we had last year. So if he comes up with a lesser record, technically there's no reason Haslam should keep him.
Well, that's right. So the thing too is, I don't know what about the team chemistry. I know that Odell Beckham didn't look happy yesterday. You've got two running backs who should really dominate the field. If they do that, that means less reliance on your wide receivers. Then he also is very, very tight end oriented as a head coach. And so how much dissension will that cause amongst the OBJ? I mean, I just don't see him being that big of an asset yet. I really don't know. Maybe he's healthy now. It does seem to put a lot of pressure on Nate.
And here's what, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things. Here's one. You know, you have the best tandem running backs in the NFL. Why aren't you running that ball and running that ball and running that ball? Because then, all of a sudden, if they're looking for probably a run on every play, that opens up your passing game.
Well, what they did, it seemed to me yesterday, was, okay, they gave it to Hunter, Chubb. They get 6-7 yards. That's good gains, right? Either one of them do that. Then they go to the pass and incomplete. And then they're in a position where they have to pass again. And what weren't successful, and it was the pattern of the game. They only got to run the game 4 or 5 yards, and they tried to give it to OBJ or Landry or the tight ends. There was, you know, I don't see there was good utilization of spreading out the passes and using the backs out of the backfield. I think, you know, Baker Mayfield looked once again like an incompetent quarterback. That's the difference between an incompetent quarterback and a franchise quarterback. A franchise quarterback can look down the field, see that OBJ is not going to be able to catch the ball, and find another receiver. And that's what Lamar Jackson did with brilliance yesterday.
Yes.
If his main receiver in a play was covered, he found the other ones that were out there and were able to get distance between them and the defender and make the completion. That's it. I mean, it comes down to whether or not we have the talent at that key position to go forward.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line. You can't win without a franchise quarterback, and he doesn't look like it right now.
Your sister may have been right. She may have been
right. Well, it's only one game.
It is only one game. Hey, essentially we put the bottom line on that. What the heck is going on with the Tribe?
They look pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. They
lost
they,
six games in a row now. I mean, the sad thing is they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, they're not going to go very far.
But if you can't hit the ball, yeah, you're not going to go very far, period. You're done.
They have been – I mean, I love baseball. I watch baseball. But they are a hard team to watch. I mean, there's no hitting. My goodness gracious, they did finally get five runs on Sunday. That's like the total they had for the five losses before.
Yeah.
They were absolutely pathetic against Minnesota. Absolutely pathetic against and they lost three out of four to Kansas City. The Kansas City.
Yes.
Let's see. They lost they won the first game against Kansas City. And then they lost the one last Tuesday. They lost 3-0 on Wednesday. They lost 11-1 against Kansas City on Thursday.
Against Kansas City, yeah.
Kansas City. They lost 3-1 on Friday against Minnesota. 12, another Saturday they lost. I think it was 5-2 or something like that. But we know you're talking about in the American League, of course, this year with the universal designated hitter. You've got to score 4 to 5 runs
yes.
to win.
Yes.
And when we do score 5 runs, the pitching gives it up.
Yes.
I mean, they had 4 home runs against our pitching on Sunday. Four. Minnesota is clearly the cream of the crop in the Central Division. And I don't know. Unfortunately, this trade for Clevinger didn't generate any offense.
No.
This Naylor young man in left field, he's been a dud so far. Let's look at some of these wonderful batting averages as of Monday. We had nobody, repeat, nobody batting over 300. Nobody.
Nobody.
You had
nobody. Not a one.
Not a one. You've got Lindor at 277, which is a little above average, but not by much. You've got Hernandez batting 266. Or, yeah, 266. You got Ramirez, a very pedestrian, 253. Santana, 210. Our cleanup hitter, 210. Reyes, who was on fire, is now he's cold. He's down to 292. He was the only guy above 300. Nate Quinn has lost it. He started out pretty darn good, but he's lost it. He's batting 240. This Naylor that we got from San Diego, 147. Sandy Leon, 150. Delano DeShields, for whatever reason, we keep playing this guy, 247. Of course, you got Mercado, horrid, 143. Mike Freeman, who comes off the bench, 257. And Roberto Perez, 167. We have the worst batting average as a team in all of Major League Baseball. And you can't even have... With the pitching that we do have, which is right out of ranking right on the top, can't compete with you only scoring no runs, one run, two runs. You can't do it. Right. You just can't do it. And it's got to be deflating. When you go out and only get three runs against a very good team, and you can't win. This one, this young man Thursday night was a rookie. He almost pitched a no-hitter against us. A no-hitter. By Kansas City, a no-name.
Yeah,
he finally gave up a run, I mean a hit, and then he was taken out, and they scored one run against him in that 11-1 fiasco. I don't know what the answer is. If this is what we got for offense, we'll make it to the playoffs because it's convoluted this year. You got 16 teams out of 30 can make it. And we basically can go only win a few more games, and we're got a lock on the last place position in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Last I saw that even with this losing streak, we were at a 99.9% shot at making the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's going to happen, but what happens when you get there is if they don't do anything to wake up bats, this is what it's going to end in first round. Luckily, it isn't a one and done like it has been in the past years.
No, and we go we play at the Cubs starting tonight. And then Wednesday, then we do have a break. We go to Detroit, play some more there. But if we play Detroit like we did Kansas City, I am very concerned. I'm just not. It's just last week I said I wasn't concerned because we were winning and scoring enough runs. But this offense has been tepid from the start of the season, and they do have signs of coming out of it. Then they go back into the deep freeze.
Yeah.
You can't have your cleanup batting 210. You can't.
No.
And then after Reyes, Camille Reyes, you have the bottom of this order is pathetic. The bottom of Minnesota's order is prolific. They score run after run after run. Gosh, they've got enough pitching that they're going to be very, very interesting in the playoffs. Very interesting. And I, boy. This was a bad week for Cleveland sports.
It was a bad week for Cleveland sports, but as the music comes in, it must be a good time for
fun. What a fast hour. All right.
We had plenty to complain about this week.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
A criminal's best asset is his liability.
It would be.
It would be, yes. That's it.
We will be back next week.
It wasn't very good. We'll be back
with more Sports Sidebar next Tuesday. And we'll talk to you then.